welcome to episode 18 of the Final Boss Blues podcast. My name is Despe, and I'm your regular host, and I'm joined with Killam.
Hello, everyone.
Reynard Frost.
Hello.
And again, we are joined by Captain Jet.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about player psychographics. If you've followed up with the website and the articles that I've published on the website, you'll be somewhat familiar with this topic. And if you haven't, you should definitely check it out. I think this is one of the major topics that I've brought to the indie game design community. It's something that comes from Magic the Gathering. Something specifically from Mark Rosewater, who's the head designer of Magic the Gathering. And he talks about Timmy, Johnny, and Spike, and how they're player psychographics. And when they design the game of Magic, when they build the cards, they think about these three individual people. Timmy, Johnny, and Spike. And our goal for this podcast and for the article that I published about a year ago is to really bring that type of language and that type of thought to video game development, and to it's these kind of ideas are not new exactly. They're the kinds of things that it's very likely you've thought about them already, but you might not necessarily have the language to put them in a concise way. You might not, like, even though you're designing your game in a way for these people or for these psychographics, you might not necessarily be consciously thinking about it. And when you're able to put a name or a label or any kind of word to this kind of concept, it makes it a lot easier to talk about, and it might open your eyes to new ways of developing your game or new methods to design your game, and in general, just ways to make your game more enjoyable for more people. So today we're going to be talking about the player psychographics. To briefly explain what they are, I'm going to quote from Mark Rosewater's article itself. After numerous years, we've come to the conclusion that there are three basic types of magic players. Or, for us, game players. The fancy term for these categories is psychographic profiles. A psychographic profile separates players into categories based on their psychological makeup. What motivates that player to play? What kind of cards do they like? What kind of things encourage that player to keep on playing? So that was Mark Rosewater's words. And for the most part, each of these categories that we're looking at is a way of recognizing the various types of players and the reason that motivates them for playing a game. And they are Timmy, Johnny, and Spike, which again is a name that came from Mark Rosewater from Magic the Gathering, which we're taking, and we're applying it to a very different type of gaming style. In general, we're talking about single-player games. For most of you, you're going to be making RPG-type games. And we're going to be applying these kinds of things to the kind of games that you're making, rather than the kind of card game from Magic. And I think that even though these concepts originated in the context of Magic the Gathering, they're incredibly useful in any type of game design. And that's why I think this is such an important topic to cover today. So I'm going to let Killam start by talking about the character of Timmy and what Timmy values most in a game.
Well, since, as Despain said, this is an RPG-centered podcast in general, Timmy is one of the easiest characters that you want to make your game for. Timmy wants to experience something. He wants to be a part of something. He wants to almost be immersed completely in the game and just have a good time. That's what he really wants to do at the end of the day. He wants to take something away from the game, which is his own enjoyment. A good example of this would be a lot of the earlier Final Fantasy games, and actually the modern ones too. You're in the game, you're experiencing a story, you're a part of something big. And that's just from the story aesthetic-wise. Gameplay-wise, he wants to do a lot of damage. He wants to have that critical hit, 9999 damage. He wants to make an impact and experience being powerful in the game. A good example of really what Timmy wants to shoot for is Metroid Prime. In that game, he's fully immersed as Samus Aran, or Aran.
Aran.
Aran?
Samus Aran.
That's A-O... Okay, never mind.
It's Samus Aran.
Samus.
You're right there?
Samus. Just say Samus.
Okay, Samus. So yeah, he wants to be Samus, and he is through the music, through the immersion, through the story, or lack thereof.
Through the tactile controls of being the character. Like, Metroid Prime does a great job of putting you in her shoes. Like, when you see the reflection of her face on your screen and stuff, like, that's something that Timmy really enjoys because he feels like he's really inside the game. He's experiencing what Samus is experiencing. He's actually in her shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I think, in my opinion, Timmy is more of the almost, I don't want to say casual because that's kind of insulting, but at the end of the day, he's just in it to have his own version of fun. He wants to experience the game to its fullest, pretty much.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Timmy enjoys interactivity in terms of things that happen. If that doesn't make sense, I'm going to refer to an example from my article. If you're thinking about the kind of RPG Maker RPGs, the things that are available to you to make, think about the kind of thing where you can create a bomb effect, where you can drop a bomb on the map, and you can use it to blow up holes in the walls. Oh, I've seen a few RPG Maker games do this, so it's something that I do, because it's relatively simple to create. But when you take it a step further, and you can let the player explode signposts, or when you explode it next to a character and the character says, hey, why did you do that? Or something like that.
Interactivity with the environment.
Yeah. Timmy really enjoys that he can do things, even if it doesn't necessarily increase his stats in the game or it doesn't contribute to his end goal. It's something that he can do to interact with the environment. It's something that he can do to get an effect. And it makes him feel excited because, like, hey, I did something cool. There's an explosion. Wow, that's fun. That's exciting, you know? He wants to experience the fact that the world is interacting to what he does. Like, he'd make something big happen.
Yeah, I think he just wants to have fun. That's really all he wants
He wants to experience something. If a story makes Timmy cry, he's happy. If somebody dies in your story and Timmy is so immersed that he cries, he is loving it. He loves that so much. If he hates the villain, right? If the villain destroys the hero's city and Timmy gets so mad, he loves it. He relishes the fact that he hates the villain. He really wants to experience the story.
Timmy wants to give a shit.
Yeah. More than any of the other psychographics, he puts himself within the player and he just likes being inside the world.
Yeah. He is a big fan of immersion, so whenever you want to put immersion in your game, you're catering to Timmy the most with the immersion, because that is just something he loves to do. He loves to jump in the world, he loves to put on that skin, he loves to go, hey, I am in this world, this is my reality for the next time until I turn the game off.
Yeah, most likely if you're developing an RPG, your game already caters to Timmy because it has an expansive world, and he gets to see the whole world through his own eyes, or the eyes of the protagonist. So most likely, you're already making the game for Timmy if you're making an RPG.
He also likes impressive graphics. He likes strong music. He likes a story that can really draw him in. He likes to identify with his characters. All that kind of stuff is something that Timmy really enjoys.
Yeah, examples of games Timmy would like are, you know, as we mentioned, Metroid Prime, Persona 3 or 4, Heavy Rain, Final Fantasy 13, games that are very heavy on story and that the game caters towards having the player getting immersed in the story, kind of putting them on rails, especially with Final Fantasy 13. That game puts you on rails. The other two psychographs, they would really hate Final Fantasy 13, but Timmy, he's like, I don't care. There's all these flashy graphics. The combat's it's not in my way, and then I get to see all these characters talking, and it gets me from point A to point B, and I just get to be in the world. Whereas Metroid Prime is more open, and it lets them explore and tinker with stuff and get more immersed and stuff like that. And then Heavy Rain is just story, 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 but interacting with the environment, feeling like you are, like, it throws in little things like being able to shave the character's face and shit. Timmy eats that shit up.
If he plays a game like Earthbound, he's the one most likely to laugh. When he goes out of his way to talk to an NPC, he will laugh at the stupid joke that the NPC makes in a game like Earthbound. Whereas somebody else might say, wow, this was a waste of time. He didn't give me an item.
I don't know how people can do that. You can't not laugh at that game.
All right. Rainer, do you want to talk a little bit about Johnny and give us an overview about what Johnny likes?
Johnny is a character that likes to get creative. He likes to kind of figure out how the game ticks and then bend it to his will. He is the one who likes to put his own mark on the game. He likes a game where there's lots of options. Like, he likes MMOs because he likes that crafting system. He likes being able to customize his character. He likes to put himself in the game and then make the game his bitch. He likes sandbox games. He loves Grand Theft Auto games. He likes to basically have multiple options. He likes multiple endings. He doesn't like things to be too linear. He likes to be able to be given something and then make it his own. So he'll love games like I said, Grand Theft Auto. He'll love MMOs. He'll love Mass Effect, especially games like that, where you just get all these options and you can make the game. You can craft your own experience in the game. There's not just one set path you have to follow. He would hate Final Fantasy XIII because he is stuck on rails and he doesn't really get to explore and do much. He would like Metroid Prime with the whole being able to explore and kind of doing things certain paths. He loves Legend of Zelda because there's multiple ways to go about it. There's different ways to do dungeons. He loves Mega Man X because there's multiple ways to go through the different boss things. But he especially loved games like Mass Effect because he gets to make multiple choices with dialogue with the characters. He gets to choose who he wants to be his friend and who he doesn't. Choice. That's what sums up Johnny, is he loves choices.
Yeah, Johnny wants to express himself. The reason he plays games is to put his own mark on the game. He wants to really express who he is and bring his own personal individuality into the game itself. You mentioned Metroid Prime, and a good example of that is that there's a point in Metroid Prime where you can get the space jump boots early, if you know how to do a bomb jump. And Johnny's the kind of guy who will be like, hey, I can do this, I can break the sequencing of the game, I can get these boots early, and now the game, you know, I've broken the game, I can do it in a new way. I can experience it from a different angle that's my own. And he's the kind of person who really enjoys being able to look at the game from a different angle and say, this is my own. I've put my own mark on it. I'm doing something that other people are not doing. I'm doing something that the game didn't necessarily intend.
For Johnny, Johnny's almost kind of like what I imagine some speedrunners to be, because they like to go through the game how you're not really supposed to, with all the glitches and stuff. But at the same time, speedrunners are more of something that'll come up a little later.
Alright, yeah. In terms of Johnny in RPG gameplay, he likes to experiment with different tactics. Like, I know Des had the cursed ring option with Tifa in Final Fantasy VII. I guess a weapon that she equips would have a boosted attack if she had a status effect, and he would put the status effects on her. Is that right?
Yeah, that was a combination that was very Johnny, because you combine two things that, you know, for the most part were negative, but you got a huge boost out of it, because he was able to express himself in a way where he combined these two objects that made him more powerful. He found an interesting combination of things that other people might not see. He was able to express his own creativity.
Yeah, and he broke the game. I mean, you were doing 999 damage to every single enemy, right? So you broke the game, but you felt really, really good about yourself when you did that, because, hey, this is my idea. I thought of this myself, and now I get to reap all the rewards, killing everything in one shot. Now, when you're designing an RPG, that might not seem ideal for you because it's too easy for the player, right? Because you just nerfed the difficulty for him. But that's okay, because the player is rewarded for his hard work. And that's something you have to keep in mind when designing for Johnny. It's okay to have people break the game. It's not a problem. That's what you should shoot for.
Yeah, within a kind of single-player game, if you give Johnny the options that he wants, he can find a way to manipulate the game to his own liking, and then he feels like he put his own stamp on it. And then he's really happy that he made this his own.
Yeah, and you might get lucky, and Johnny discovers things that you had no idea were even possible in your own game. And for me, I find that really appealing, is when somebody tries to figure out how the game works and then discovers new ways to play it that you never even intended.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm doing with my game. I'm trying to visualize all of these strategies based on like little equipment items and skills, and just the idea of having a player come up with something I never thought about, it just makes me so like happy and excited. Like, I want to see that happen.
Yeah, and Johnny's the kind of the player who would go out of his way to find those kind of combinations.
He's a great guy.
All right, let's talk about Spike a little bit. Spike's
a douchebag.
he's the hardcore MLG gamer.
That's a common way of looking at him, but it's not necessarily true. Spike wants to prove his dominance when he plays a game. When you think about competitive games, he's the person that will do whatever it takes to get to the top. He's the highest ranked player in these kind of competitive games. He's the guy who plays in tournaments. If you think of Super Smash Bros. Tournaments, he's the guy who says, no items, Fox only, Final Destination only.
Because yeah, so that's... he is a douchebag then.
Not necessarily. Not from his perspective, because he wants to level the playing field where it's only about skill. He really wants to prove that he's the best. Instead of having a game that has lots of items or randomness, he wants to be able to prove against other people in an even playing field that he's the best. When you're looking at a single-player game, his motivations are more about maybe completion. He wants to prove his dominance in a different way.
Would you say that he thinks he's the best around and nothing's ever going to hold him down?
We'll say he wants to be the best around and he doesn't want anything to hold him down. He's the kind of guy who cares about the competitive metagame in a game like Pokemon. And in a single-player game, let's look at Final Fantasy VII as an example. If he wants to prove that he's the best, he's the guy who will go after those optional bosses, like Emerald Weapon or whatever. And he's the kind of guy who will beat them, and he'll feel really happy that he defeated them. Other players might not play the game to that point. Like me, personally, I didn't care about them. I just played the game to get through the story. I defeated the final boss, and then I uninstalled it. I was happy.
Casual.
You can call me casual, or you can say that I have too many Steam games and I just want to get through as many of them as I can.
But, no, you're casual.
But Spike's the kind of guy, when he opens a single-player game, he wants to get through it, and he wants to beat everything as much as he can to prove that he's the best at it.
Spike would give a shit about an achievement score, because he's go, I got all the achievements in this single-player game, because I'm so good, I can unlock all the things. And you only got like 10% of the achievements, so therefore, I'm superior. Because Johnny's a cool guy, but Spike is a douchebag.
Yeah, I don't like Spike.
That's not necessarily true. You can't put him down to that, because everybody has a little bit of Spike in them. Everybody likes to win.
I just did.
Everybody likes to win.
No, I mean, yeah, I agree. I actually hated Spike initially, and then I played Pokemon and got into the metagame, and then, you know what? I like Spike.
Yeah, everybody, there's a little bit of Spike in them. They really want to...
Oh, yeah, when it comes to Pokemon, I'm definitely Spike.
They want to prove themselves. They want to do their best. And Spike is also about efficiency. We talked about how Johnny would come up with a combo. We used that Final Fantasy VII example. Spike would use the same combo. But he wouldn't do it because it's a cool expression of his ideas. He would do it because it wins. He would come up with the same conclusion.
Way to get it done.
Exactly. He would come up with the same conclusion, but he would come up with it for a completely different reason.
Basically, Spike likes to min-max.
And it's very likely that instead of coming up with it himself, he would find it on an online forum and realize, hey, this is a good idea, let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's the kind of guy who looks at DPS, damage per second. What's the most efficient way to deal the most damage? Not the most entertaining way, the most efficient way.
And it's also, all right, now that we've put a little overlay on what each of these psychographics are and what they care about and what they want to do in games, it's worth noting that everybody has a little bit of everybody in them. So, Jet, do you want to talk a little bit more about how to design the game in a way that everybody who is a little bit of each can be happy?
You're going to have a story, and that's Timmy. It's Timmy straight up, because he wants to cry and laugh and be whatever. He's Timmy. But at the same time, you have gameplay, you have stuff to do, and that's what Spike wants. He wants stuff to do, he wants to go out, do all the side quests, you know, 100% the game, and just destroy everything. And sometimes when you destroy everything, you gotta be creative about it, and that's Johnny. Johnny is the creative type, like you guys said. He'll think of like the awesome combos to do some extra damage without, you know, going too crazy, because he wants to have fun. They all just want to have fun in the end. And everybody just wants to have fun when they're going to play a game. And that's all of them.
It's just how they go about achieving their fun is where the difference is. Like. And so there, and some people follow multiple things. Like, I myself, I'm a mixture of Johnny and Timmy. Like, I love games like Persona because I get to get immersed in this game. I love games like Mass Effect because I get all these choices so I can express myself. But at the same time, I can put myself in the game and feel immersed and feel like I am Shepard. It's not I'm controlling Shepard, which is the mentality of somebody like Spike would have. It's, I am Shepard. This is me going through these trials. This is me going through that stuff. And that's why I wiped out the Geth to make sure I stayed alive.
That you're such a, Matt, you're a terrible person.
You are a terrible person.
I'm not a terrible person. I just love myself more than anything else.
That's a good point. The idea that each of these psychographics, it's not necessarily saying that these are all different people. It's just different ways of looking at how different people want to have fun in the game. Ultimately, it all leads to the same thing. Fun. Everybody approaches fun in a different way. Everybody defines fun in a different way. Timmy, his idea of fun is that he experiences something. Johnny's idea of fun is that he can express himself. Spike's idea of fun is that he wants to prove that he's the best.
And be a douchebag.
Around!
You're hating on Spike, man. That's not cool. He's gonna come after you.
All right.
Yeah, let him try and fight me in real life, bro.
And he'd win.
No, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't.
He plays. He wouldn't win because
he wouldn't be able to do his KD.
Man, you're mean. I'm a Spike. All right, we'll look at it this way. In single player games, I'm very much a Timmy. I like a game that has a jump button. I've said that before. If I can't jump in a game, I'm not the biggest fan of it. I like the tactile control of being able to really control my character. And I like to...
You can't jump in Mass Effect.
Checkmate.
But you can romance women in Mass Effect, and that's also something that Timmy enjoys.
Tally is not a woman, she's an alien.
I love Tally. She's my... Oh, I love her. I want
to hate on Tally.
Cuddle with
she's
her and
real.
Hug her.
This coming from Mr. I Love 2D.
In single-player games, I'm very much a Timmy. When it comes to multiplayer games, I'm a Johnny Spike. I'm not very much of a Timmy when it comes to multiplayer games. Because in a competitive environment, Timmy might not be the best. He wants to play like the biggest, coolest creature. You know, he wants to, like, if you're talking about Hearthstone, he likes to play the big, cool dudes, and he might sacrifice his ability to win in order to play a big creature that has a cool effect when it comes in.
Yeah, to be honest, I can't see Timmy in the competitive scene at all. I don't think he would fit in, not even a little bit.
He's not very competitive. Similarly, Johnny is not very competitive. If Johnny wins one game off of his combo, his cool combo that he assembled, he doesn't care that he lost the other 10. Spike, on the other hand, wants to win every single game that he plays.
Actually, a very good example of this is Loadout, that me, Des, and Captain Jet have played for a long time now. You can make your own guns if you guys haven't played it yet. It's on Steam. It's free to play, so I would highly recommend playing it. I'm sure everyone else here does too, besides Drainer, because he's a scrub. But anyway. No, but
I'm sorry. I just think Titanfall's a better shooter.
Okay, and you're entitled to your wrong opinion. That's fine. No, but seriously, like, you can make your own guns and loadout, and there's a gun called the semi-beam, which is a laser rifle, and that's completely overpowered. It requires precision, but you get the highest KDR from it. So that Spike, he researched online how to make that gun, and he wins all the time because he's good. Johnny makes a really weird gun that satisfies himself. It's not really that good, but it's still fun to play with. Like a Tesla rock that you guys don't know the specifics, never mind.
That's because you're not very much of a Johnny. But Johnny would also like Titanfall, because he can drop his mech onto another mech and kill that mech instantly. And it is so much fun.
That sounds very Timmy. That sounds very Timmy.
Yeah, no one plays Titanfall.
In the context of Loadout, Spike would probably, he would enjoy the semi-beam because he's able to one-shot people with their headshots and win the game. Timmy would really enjoy creating a turret that shoots fireballs that burns everybody. Yeah. He'd enjoy the chaos that ensues from that. Johnny, on the other hand, he might want to create a specific combo where he has something that makes a Tesla weapon, and then something else that takes advantage of that because it arcs to all his opponents at once. So I think Loto's a good example because there's a lot of expression within it. Johnny will be the kind of guy who unlocks all the different types of weapons so he can experiment with all the different kinds. Timmy will find his cool fireball and he'll enjoy it and he'll want to play with that forever. Spike will go on the forums and find what's the strongest and he'll just do the strongest and keep up with the competitive metagame.
Yeah, once again, yeah. Spike's the douchebag.
Call him a douchebag if you want, but he wins.
Yeah, because he's a douchebag.
Alright, let's talk... Loadout was a good example of how it appeals to all three of these psychographics. Another good example of that is Pokemon.
Of course.
Of course, we can't not talk about Pokemon on this podcast. Pokemon's a great game because it appeals to all three of the psychographics. And one thing that I want to stress, again, is that when designing a game, you want to appeal to all three as much as you can. Make sure there's something for everybody to really have fun with. So, Pokemon, think about how Timmy would enjoy Pokemon. Imagine when you hatch your egg for the first time. He's really experiencing that, you know? When you get your Togepi from the egg back in Gold and Silver. So he hatches his egg, and he's excited. Like, wow, there's a cool animation. My dude pops out. I birthed a new baby. It's really cool. It's fun. It's exciting. When a Pokemon evolves, he gets really excited. He plays those contests. And Johnny, who wants to express himself, he enjoys Pokemon because he can come up with cool strategies. We mentioned Trick Room in a few episodes now. He likes building a team around Trick Room, where all his Pokemon are slow, but he uses that move, and then they go fast because it's an interesting combo, and he feels like he's doing something original and unique. Spike, he gets really into the competitive metagame. He's playing with all the overused Pokemon. He's using the strongest strategies, and he just crushes everybody else. He doesn't care much about the storyline.
He doesn't love his Pokemon. He just forces them to fight.
Yeah, pretty much. Blue is a Spike because he just wants to win.
Yeah, you made the example of the evolution. Timmy would love the evolution, and Spike would say, okay, good, thank God. Now we can finally train him. He doesn't give a shit about the Pokemon.
Yep.
Timmy fights for his friends. Spike fights for himself.
Exactly. And Johnny just fights for fun.
Yeah, that's something wrong with that. Okay,
that's why Killam doesn't like Spike, because Spike doesn't fight for his friends.
I don't like Spike because he's an arrogant douchebag who makes the game less fun for other people.
Well, the thing is, Spike's not necessarily arrogant. He hates cheaters.
He is a cheater. He's a borderline cheater.
No. Listen to what I'm saying.
No, he's not a cheater. It's cheating when you are doing exploits, when you were doing stuff like that. Spike doesn't use exploits. Spike is the one who wants to go, we're all going to use Fox, we're going to use no items. He wants to level the playing field and makes it so user input is the defining difference between things. If he's got an advantage because he's exploiting gameplay, it's a hollow victory. He likes to find the most efficient way to win, yes, but within the fair confines of gameplay. Spike is the most sportsmanlike of them all. Like, he may be a sore loser and stuff like that, but he will want, he's like the most Klingon of them all. He wants an honorable fight, and he loves that fight, and he wants to win that fight.
There is nothing honorable about camping with a sniper rifle.
Then Spike isn't the one who's going to sit there and camp with a sniper rifle. Spike's going to be the one who tries to utilize a strategy that shows, I kicked your ass in a great way. Like, he doesn't want a hollow victory that's just some cheap camper thing. Spike gets pissed off at campers because he's just like, oh, these scrubs are using camping. That's not a real way to fight.
Yeah,
Spike likes an,
exactly.
Spike likes an even playing field. In which the only thing that matters is your own skill at the game.
Yeah, like, he'll want to use the most efficient strategy to kick your ass, yes, but he's not going to use it if it's too easy or if there's no skill involved. Above all else, he loves skill. He loves to go, I kicked your ass because I'm better at this than you, not because, oh, I exploited this. It's all about dominance. It's all about him going, hey, I kicked your ass because I'm better at this game than you. Like, that's all Spike wants, is he wants to go, I'm better.
Oh, so he has some issues with his own personal life, so he takes it out on other people. Okay, that's all I need to know.
You're jelly.
Are you saying you don't want to win, like, ever? Because that's all Spike wants. He wants to win.
Let's talk a little bit about how everybody is everybody, right? Like, we have these three psychographics, and we speak about them as if they're separate people. But when you're actually designing your game, they're not separate people. Everybody who plays a game has a little bit of each. Like I mentioned that when I play a single-player game, I'm primarily a Timmy. But at the same time, sometimes I might just want to win. Sometimes I might come up with a cool combo and I feel like a Johnny. Every person who plays your game has a little bit of each. They might identify more with one or one of the other psychographics. But when you're designing your game, it's a good idea to put a little bit of something for everybody in your game. Here's an example. If you're creating an RPG-type game, let's say you have a crafting system. Johnny might really enjoy it because it lets him be creative. Spike might also enjoy it, only in the sense that he can make the most powerful weapon through it. Timmy might like it because there's a cool animation, or there's a fun sound effect, or you get a weapon that does a million damage and he feels like it's fun to do that much damage. Not everybody is going to want to use it. Sometimes Timmy might just not care about your crafting system because he already has a weapon that he likes. Sometimes Spike might not need that crafting system because he understands that the best weapon in the game comes from somewhere else. But if you include it, Johnny is still happy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Timmy is the one who loves spamming that jump button, and Johnny's the one who likes to find creative ways to use that jump button to access areas that most people can't access. And Spike only gives a shit about that jump button if it lets him kill things more efficiently. When it comes to all that tying together, it's somebody who is a mix of things. Like, you can take a game like Mass Effect, and that kind of caters to everybody, especially Mass Effect 3, because it had a multiplayer. But, like, Timmy loves Mass Effect because he gets to see these huge spaceships going around. There's all these characters to interact with. There's these great fight scenes. You know, there's all this. It's a space opera, and he is eating that shit up. Johnny likes it because he can customize how his character looks, and there are multiple classes and multiple ways to approach a combat situation. Like, you can sneak past some stuff, or you can just try and run and gun through shit, or you can try and use more strategy and apply your squad to get through stuff. And Spike will eat up Mass Effect's multiplayer because he'll sit there and go, let's try and get through these waves of enemies in the most efficient way possible, and let's get our team to get through all this shit. Like, Spike is gonna go, he'll be like, I played on the hardest difficulty and I soloed that by myself, when originally you should have a team.
I soloed a gold map before.
Oh wow.
You know what's a good game to talk about within this context? Deus Ex, the new one that we've all played.
I thought it was Deus Ex.
It's Deus Ex.
I pronounce it Deus.
As in Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, Deus Ex Machina. That's how I say it.
Not Deuce. If it was Deuce, then it would be D-E-U-C-E.
No. Like, okay,
yes,
let's see.
That's how you spell Deuce.
How do you pronounce Zeus? Z-E-U-S. Is it Zeus, the god of thunder?
Yes, but there's not one way to pronounce a word in every single language.
Anyway, I think that's a great example because you can play it in so many different ways. Like, you might go across it like stealth. You know, you get the achievement for not actually killing anybody. You get the achievement for just knocking people out or whatever it is.
And then there's the foxiest of the hounds, where it's the achievement where you never get spotted by anything.
So Timmy might want to go for that achievement because it's something fun to experience for him. He might like to take the pacifist route because it falls in line with the way he wants to play the game for fun. Johnny might want to do that because he feels like, hey, this is a unique experience. I can feel like I do this and I'm a real individual. Spike might want to do that to get the achievement to show his friends, I got the achievement and you didn't. So while the achievement is there to go through the game without killing anybody, it appeals to all three of these characters, but for different reasons. They all find fun in it, but for a different reason.
And not any one way of having fun is unique to only one person. There are people who prefer to mix and match and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what I actually want to talk about is the varying intensities of appealing to all of these demographics. Because here's an example. I love JRPGs. I'm a Timmy with them. I love the immersion and the story because it's very, I guess, light. But on the other hand, Western RPGs, I think, are the antichrist, and I despise them because I think it's too much immersion and it's too much story, or lack of story, to be honest. Like, you want to actually have...
I think that is a statement founded in deep ignorance and heavy prejudice, because...
I have played Dark Mass Souls Effect... for 2 hours, and it's
Dark
fucking
Souls,
terrible.
Dark Souls is not a traditional RPG. You're thinking of Dark Souls and trying to compare it to Western RPGs. Dark Souls is more like Ghosts and Goblins. Dark Souls is one that caters to Spike and Johnny heavily, not Timmy. Dark Souls is about it, like, you're exploring and you're fighting monsters. It's mostly about the fights and dying multiple times and figuring out a strategy to get past that boss or to defeat that boss. It's very much like Ghosts and Goblins or like old school games where you are just beating against the board trying to find ways. Whenever you die in Dark Souls, it's because you fucked up. It's not the game was cheap and you keep trying again and again to figure out a strategy on how to do that. You learn from each death. And if you're not learning from each death, that's on you. It's not on the game. The game isn't being cheap. The game is just extremely difficult and unforgiving.
So what you're saying is that it appeals to masochists.
Masochists.
Okay, I'm not really good today on pronouncing words.
You are
words.
Like Ron Burgundy,
yeah,
with this shit,
that's
I
terrible.
Swear. It's pronounced San Diego.
It means a whale's vagina.
By Julius Caesar's hot tub. But yeah, it's
I love
scotch. But yes, it's but yeah, Dark Souls isn't gonna cater to you if you enjoy JRPGs. But if you want to compare Western RPGs to JRPGs, you need to bring in examples like
Skyrim,
Morrowind,
yeah, I
Dragon
Skyrim
Age,
too.
Mass
Don't
Effect.
Worry.
Mass Effect is a Western RPG. Dragon Quest is a JRPG. Persona 4 is a JRPG. There's different ways and there's different feels. Yes. But each one has their strengths, and each one can cater to all three with the – it can cater to Timmy with the immersion. I mean, Mass Effect, I think, would cater a lot to JRPG players because they have this kind of opera going on. They have this immersion. They have this fun combat. It's not turn-based, sure, but, I mean, it's more towards – it's closer to a JRPG experience than games like Oblivion or Morrowind, like the Elder Scrolls games or things like that.
Yeah, I agree. I can actually stomach Mass Effect. It's a really good game, especially the second one. But Skyrim, I hate. I can't. Nope. No.
Yeah, because it's a bit too sandbox for you, probably.
No, it's a bit too generic for me. Dovahkiin, kill dragons. Oh, like every other Western RPG ever made.
A lot of these Western RPGs are catered a lot more towards Johnny because there's so much more customization in the stats and in the armor and in the open world of it.
That's probably a good example, is Western RPGs try and cater more towards Johnny because they try and do a more sandbox RPG, whereas JRPGs cater more towards Timmy because they're all about a very focused experience which just lets you have... It's just you're following a certain experience, whereas Western RPGs are a bit more open.
Western RPGs are more about creating the experience for yourself, whereas JRPGs are more about, we have this really streamlined experience for you, and we've designed it in a way for you to get the most out of it.
Well, there are some exceptions. Like the Persona games, there are multiple ways to go about the path, but there is an efficient way to experience all the content in a single playthrough, which I think is more of the intended way, because all you're doing is just waiting to experience combat for later playthrough. Well, not combat, content through later playthroughs, or you can just get it all done in a single playthrough. There's still that fixed amount of content.
That sounds a lot more like Spike. If he can get it all, he can get it all out of the way in a single playthrough.
Yeah, like for me, when I play Persona 3 or Persona 4, I like to find a spoiler-free social link walkthrough so I can get all of the story content completed in a single playthrough. Like for me, that's the one thing I don't like about JRPGs is the New Game Plus option. It's I like to get, well, any game in general where you have to do multiple playthroughs to experience all story content. No, I like to get everything done in a single playthrough. If I have to do multiple playthroughs to experience the story, I don't have time for that, especially with JRPGs where in a single playthrough is like 50, 60 hours. If I can get through the game in 6 to 8 hours and then it requires multiple playthroughs like Metal Gear Rising, then I'll deal with that because a single playthrough doesn't take that much time. But if it's about like 50 to 60 hours just to get through a single playthrough, I'm sorry, that single playthrough is all I'm going to do.
So, what are your final thoughts, guys?
Basically, the whole point behind all of this is that there is multiple ways for people to experience the game, and you want to consider those when you are, designing your game. So you want to keep all these three mentalities in mind, or you may only want to focus on one mentality. But if you want to apply to a broader audience, you want to get more people to have fun with your game and therefore make your game more popular, is to try and cater to all three of those in various ways. So if you're making an RPG in, say, RPG Maker or Unity or what have you, you'll want to keep all those three playsets in mind. So, like, for Timmy, you're going to want to have a story that has characters that they can care about, and you're going to want to have ways to interact with the environment that aren't necessarily useful for gameplay but are just fun. Being able to jump over ledges and Pokemon is one of those things, but that also has a design aspect to it, so that's even more intelligent because it manages to block off paths going one direction but leaves it open the other way. But then there's ways for Johnny where you include multiple ways to like with Dragon Quest or Pokemon where you have multiple ways to build up your party, or with what's it called, Shin Megami Tensei, Persona, Etrian Odyssey, games like those have multiple ways to play the game, which gives Johnny multiple ways to express himself, to utilize the gameplay to find, there's no one set path. And then Spike with your RPGs is going to be the most difficult to cater to because you're going to want to find a most efficient way for him to play through, but you're also going to want to find ways for him to assert his dominance. You're going to want to throw in achievements. You're going to want to throw in ways for him to be able to go, I beat this game in a way that other people haven't beaten it, and in a way that is more efficient and better.
When you say, I've beaten this game in a way that other people haven't beaten it, that's Johnny. I think Spike doesn't care if other people did it the same way, as long as he did it better than they did.
Yeah, that's what I said at the end. This is a way that's more efficient and better.
All right. So I would like to wrap up just by mentioning again that these psychographics are ways in which people experience fun. They're the kinds of things that people look for in a game, and they're the kinds of ways that people come to a game and what they expect from it. And everybody has a little bit of Johnny, Timmy, and Spike inside them. It's just a matter of which one they think is the most important for them. So when you design your game, think about the mechanics of your game. Does this mechanic appeal to Timmy? Does this mechanic appeal to Johnny? Does this mechanic appeal to Spike? And if you have one mechanic that appeals to one, but not all three, maybe we should downplay it a little bit. Or if we have a mechanic that works really well and everybody gets something out of it, like in Pokemon where the whole team customization, it works well for each of them in a different way, maybe that can be a central mechanic.
Whereas Raynard said you don't really have to appeal to all three, you can just appeal to one. I agree, but if you want to make your game a success, and especially if it's commercial, you have to, it's a necessity, appeal to all three. Variety is the spice of life, and that definitely translates into what we're talking about here. As long as you're not shoving a strategy down a player's throat, then it's fine. You can include as many strategies as you want, but just make sure that you appeal to all three if you're trying to make a very big commercial success, or even a really, not even a commercial success, just a game that a lot of people can play.
All right. Thank you all for listening. This has been episode 18 of the Final Boss Blues podcast. We were talking about the three player psychographics. In future episodes, we might be referencing this one, so I think that this is a thank you all for listening to this one. I think it will really benefit you going in the future, not just through listening to the podcast, but in your game design. Hopefully we opened up some new ways about thinking about design, or at the very least gave you some new terms or language to think about things that you've already known. This has been episode 18. My name is Despain.
Raynard Frost.
Kill him.
I'm Captain Jet.
And as always, you can find us on the finalbossblues.com website. You can follow us on the Final Boss Blues Twitter. You can follow us on the Final Boss Blues Facebook. Kill him also has a Twitter at KillimIG. Raynard Frost has a Twitter. Make sure to check out the website at finalbossblues.com and like us on Facebook. And enjoy your week, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. All right, and that was episode 18 of the Final Boss Blues podcast. Thank you guys for listening. This has been Killam, Captain Jet, and Raynard Frost. Despain is taking a shit right now, so we're going to stop. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty much it. Follow us on Facebook.
He's dropping a deuce, as one would say.
A deuce. He's dropping a deuce ex machina right now, so he'll be back in a little bit.
All right, what a miss.